Good day, friends. Again, we take the opportunity and, shall I say, the joy of sitting down and talking to you about the precious things of our Savior and of what He has accomplished for you and for me and what He will yet do for us. How wonderful to know that we have a Savior who is Lord over all. And as we've been studying this book of Colossians, and by the way, that's where we are in the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossian church, and we're in chapter 1, and we were dealing in our last lesson with the cause for Paul's thanksgiving in verses 12 to 14. And we found that God has made us fit, He's qualified us to share the inheritance with the saints in light. God did this. You didn't qualify yourself. It isn't what you did, it's what God has done. He hath made us fit, He hath qualified us for the inheritance of the saints in light, to share with them in this marvelous inheritance we have in the Savior. For you remember, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And then he praised the Lord too for being delivered, that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness, the sphere where darkness and death reigns. God alone could deliver us from Satan's power. In fact, we can sing, God's Son hath set me free. God's Son hath set me free. He delivered us from the power of darkness, and then He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. This is the place where light and love reign. You notice in that verse, from where we were to where we are, from night to day, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And I repeat this, there are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of darkness, where death reigns, where sin is the master, where darkness prevails. And that's where we were. And Paul thanked the Lord, and we do, too, thank the Lord that He has delivered us, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His precious Son. Not where death reigns, but where each one reign in life by one Christ Jesus. But now the issue was raised in verse 14. Well, what about, how can we come into His kingdom? What about my sin? So verse 14 says, he is thanking God for this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, it's a wonderful thing. That when a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, they are immediately forgiven every sin. They receive a divine pardon. You remember in Ephesians 1:7, we had the same truth there, that we have forgiveness according to the riches of His grace. We remember we had in Ephesians 4:32, we have forgiveness for Christ's sake. And we have in 1 John 2:12, we have forgiveness for His name's sake. But now let's notice this for a few moments. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How can we come into the kingdom of God unless we're redeemed, set free, emancipated from the bondage and penalty and guilt of sin? And so we read here, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Ephesians chapter 1:7 says, in whom, same statement, in whom we have redemption through His blood. In Romans 3:24 we read, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, and I love this verse, that the Lord Jesus took His own blood and went into the holy place and there obtained for us an eternal redemption. Do you ever stop to think of it? That's why we sing sometimes, you know, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. See, now, what do you mean by being redeemed? Well, it's very simple. He redeemed us, that is, He bought us for the purpose of setting us free. You know the story, or the history of the slave market in the first century in Paul's day. One could go and buy a slave and use him for a while, He's still a slave. And then sell him to somebody else. But you're always a slave. And there's always the possibility of being for sale again. How wonderful when the Savior bought us from the markets of sin. He set us free. He made us free men and free women. We're never again to be for sale. We're never again to be in the slave markets of sin. We're never again to be under the powers of darkness. We're not for sale. God bought us for himself. Do you ever think of it? In Acts 20:28, where Paul said to the Ephesian elders, "Take heed to yourselves and to the church of God, over the which he has made you the overseers, to feed the flock of God, the church of Christ, which he purchased with his own blood." He bought us for himself. He emancipated us. He set us free. You know, some people say, "Well, I'm redeemed. God bought me." And then they stop right there. That's only half the picture. That's only half the truth. He not only purchased us from the markets of sin, but he also set us free. He emancipated us. He set us free. And if I'm to be in the kingdom of God, we must be liberated, emancipated from the kingdom of darkness, from the power of sin, from the power of the devil, and from the powers of darkness. And God has provided this liberation. But who are liberated? Those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And only those who accept him are redeemed. And it's true that the price he paid is sufficient for all. If anybody were to come to the Savior, I don't care who they are, if the whole world were to come to the Lord Jesus, that'd be wonderful. There's enough, our Lord paid enough at the cross to redeem everyone who will come. And we're redeemed on the ground of his precious blood. For it says we were redeemed in verse 14, we have redemption through his blood. Hence, no longer under the authority of sin, under the authority of the law, under the authority of this world. You remember in Titus 2:14, he redeemed us out of all iniquity and purified unto himself a people for his possession. He redeemed us out of all iniquity and freed us. We belong to him. Ah, what a freedom. As you have it in John 8:36, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And then when we come to the book of Galatians, that amazing epistle of Paul to the Galatian church, in chapter 1, verse 4, he gave himself for our sins that he might redeem us from this present evil world, or from this present evil age. You see, the world is an enmity against God. The world is a system, a religious system, an economic, social system, a religious system. It's opposed to God. It's an amazing thing today in our schools. Now, I'm going to say this. You can talk about any God there is except the only true and living God. Sad thing. God has redeemed us from this present evil world. And then in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 on through into chapter 4, we find that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree." He's delivered us, redeemed us from the curse of a broken law. And when you come to chapter 4 of Galatians, we read in the first few verses, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now, the provision has been made for you and me to be redeemed on the ground of the precious blood of Christ. The question is, will you accept that redemption in him? Now, there are some who declare that all people are redeemed, that everyone is redeemed, even the unsaved man is redeemed. Now, that's not true. Let me get this thing very clear. It's true that there is enough value in the work of Christ to redeem all who would come. But if I reject the provision made for me, then I'm still a slave to sin. I'm still in the kingdom of darkness. I'm still under the power and authority of death. You see, friend, it's not the value that you and I may place on the work of Christ at the cross. It's not man's value of the blood of Christ. It's God's value. As I said a while ago in Hebrews 9:12, he entered once into the holy place with his own blood, and there he obtained for us an eternal redemption. Wonderful thing. Not a redemption for 5 years, not a redemption until you backslide, but an eternal redemption. It's never to be repeated. It's never to be repeated. Christ will never die again for sin. He's at the right hand of God as a Savior for men and women who are in sin, who will come to him. So I ask you the question again. Have you accepted personally the redemption that God has provided for you in Jesus Christ, so that you can sing with us, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." It's yours if you want it. God's not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to insist that you accept his Son and be saved. It's there for you. God has accepted the work of his Son. His work perfectly satisfies God. Now the question is, will you accept the provision made? God is perfectly satisfied with the price that has been paid for your redemption. In order for you to be set free, emancipated, liberated from the guilt and penalty of sin, from the power of death, from the power of the enemy, the devil. That's why Paul is so rejoicing. He's thanking the Lord that these Colossian people, having accepted the Savior, are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's blessed Son, in whom they had redemption through his blood. Then he goes on in the verse to add another thing, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, everyone in the kingdom of God has been forgiven every sin on the ground of the blood of Christ. I'm talking about divine forgiveness. Not the way you forgive, not the way I forgive, but divine forgiveness. You see, the ground for this, again, if I may quote from 1 John 1:7, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth you from all sin." If Jesus Christ bore all your sin, then he's going to forgive all your sin. Not a part of it, but all of it. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10, I read, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever." You remember in the 103rd Psalm, and I'm speaking now of a divine forgiveness, which is, of course, complete and eternal. In the 103rd Psalm, you remember in verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." In the same psalm in verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Upon what ground? On the ground of the work of Christ. And by the way, you remember that the very first promise in the New Testament, in chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall deliver, save, emancipate his people from their sins." Do you ever think of it? "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In 1 John 3:5, I read, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin." That's 1 John 3:5. In Hebrews 9:26, "He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Isn't it wonderful? It is never to be repeated. Or it's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10, 12, and 14. May I give you those three verses? Hebrews 10, 10, "By the which will we are set apart, sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Verse 12, "This man, by one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, by the one offering hath he perfected forever those that are being set apart, whereof the Holy Spirit is a witness to us. As I said here in Hebrews 9:26, he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall deliver his people from their sins. What I'm after here, why I'm giving you these verses and quoting these scriptures, is because Christ did a work once for all, forever, and it will never, never again be repeated. Christ will never again be on the cross for sin. He perfectly, completely satisfied the righteous character of God for you and me. No wonder John the Baptist could say in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What man could not do in 4,000 years of religious trying, Jesus Christ did once on the cross, once for all. I repeat it, once for all, never to be repeated. You see, when God forgives, he gives with a complete pardon. You know, you have these wonderful verses which I've already been quoting. Ephesians 4:32, that he forgave you for Christ's sake. And 1 John 2:12, he forgave you for his name's sake. And you remember the apostle quotes David in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, when he said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. Same thing in Colossians 2:13, he forgave us all our transgressions. And one could multiply the scriptures concerning this question of forgiveness. But the question I'm raising with you this morning is these three things that we've been talking about. Are you in God's kingdom? Have you been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son? Have you experienced this wonderful redemption that we have in Christ Jesus? Have you experienced the divine pardon? Your sins have been put away once for all, forever. Again, I want to say, my friend, there are two distinct kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness, where death reigns, where sin reigns. This is the place where the devil has his rights. He's the prince of darkness. And how glad I am that God himself made a provision whereby men and women can be translated, taken out of the kingdom of darkness once for all forever, and put into the kingdom of God's dear Son. All he wants you to do is to accept his precious Son. And I guarantee to you, my friend, that if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you will pass from death unto life. You know, when I'm talking to you, I think of a dear little young woman here in Portland. She was the secretary of a company, and she and one other man, this man was a Christian, she wanted to go with him, and he made a date with her, and he said, if you go with me, you go to my church. Well, she wanted to be with him, so she went to his church, and she heard the gospel message. But all through the week, she went not for the purpose of hearing. She just wanted to be with this fellow. But the gospel was given to her. The Spirit of God moved in her. And all week long, she was troubled. She called me up and one Saturday morning. And I went down, talked with her in the office. And she told me, you know, I was here last Sunday night. I said, I know, I saw you in the meeting. She said, I was bored to death. I said, yes, I can understand that. Not being a Christian, you'd have no desire for the things of Christ. But why are you talking to me? She said, I've been troubled. She said, Mr. Mitchell, I need a Savior. Well, I had the joy of leading her to Christ that morning. She confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the tears were running down her cheeks, and she said to me, please don't feel badly about these tears. These are tears of joy. She says, to think that the Lord has forgiven me every sin, and that when I stand in his presence, there'll be no sign of my sin. Ah, friend, that's forgiveness. That's divine forgiveness. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever, that you and I will stand in the presence of God, and no one can produce any evidence of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from every sin. Have you got a Savior like that? Have you got this peace that passeth all understanding? If you were to leave this world right now, would you go right into the presence of the Lord with joy, with blessing? Or would you go into outer darkness? My friend, let's be realistic about this. God has made provision. We're dealing with a righteous, holy God. And He can't look upon sin without judging it. Oh, how glad I am for a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who loved men enough and loved women enough to come into the human race, take upon Himself our sins and die the death that we should have died. He bore the judgment of God for you and for me. Why not accept Him? In fact, He is saying to you today, come unto Me, all you that labor, are heavy laden, I will give you rest. It's for you today. Just you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, put your trust in Him, pass from death to life. And the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.